I'm sorry I couldn't spend time with you the other day. I was running out.
I always want to ask.
What? No, I didn't want you to think I was rude. I mean, I am, but I didn't want you to think I was.
Okay, Rabbo, so let me just get started. I'll tell you where I want to start from. You know, we divided up the Mishnah, if you recall, into three sections. And the last section of those three is the section that deals with Isurei Kares. And the Mishnah establishes that despite the fact that this with this Be'ila, he incurs a Chiyuv Kares, nevertheless he still pays Knas. Yeah. And the Chiyuv Kares does not knock off the Knas. Yeah. So we're going to find a whole bunch of Tanoim who would reject this Mishnah. And what I'm going to ask you to look at is La Fuke on Daf Chavtes Omid Beis. So if you can open up to Daf Chavtes Omid Beis, mm-hmm. On the right side of the page you'll see a Tosus Dibro Maskel Isru. Yeah, straight across from Isru on Chavtes Amid Beis, you'll see Ulafuki Mehai Tana. That our Mishnah reflects a Shita that's against the Tana of the Brisa, which we're about to learn. The Brisa records two Shitos. One of Shimon HaTimni and the other of Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh. They are both addressing the same three words in the parasha of Ma'anis. There it says, "Velo sihye le'isha." And both Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh agree that "Velo sihye le'isha" tells me more than just the obligation incumbent upon the Ma'anis to marry this woman, but it also tells me which woman is included in the parish of Knas, meaning that the premise that underlies this price that we're about to learn is that the parish of Ma'anis is a package deal. What do I mean by a package deal?
You have to be able to marry her.
Excellent. That there are two dimensions to the parish, but they're all two. They're two sides of one coin. They're interdependent. One aspect of the parish is Knas, that he has to pay Hamishim Kesef, Shkolim Kesef. The second is Velosi Elisha has to marry her. However, if you want to know whom was victimized, who is the woman that was victimized, the answer is it's got to be the woman who's Velosi Elisha. If not, if she doesn't fit into that description of Velosi Elisha and it's impossible to fulfill Velosi Elisha, then according to this Brisa, there's no Knas. The parasha doesn't address that case. And that's against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah, bless you, has a case, bless you, a whole bunch of cases of Isurei Kares. And Isurei Kares make it impossible for Velosi Elisha. In fact, one could argue that even an Isur Lav would be enough to make it impossible for Velosi Elisha. You can't consummate a marriage in the case of Mamzeres, for example, where the violation would be a violation of an Isur Lav. In any event, let's just summarize. Our Mishnah is of the opinion that there are two different independent parts to this parasha. One part of the parasha is Velosi Elisha, meaning that the Ma'anis has to marry this woman. The other part of the parasha is Vinosa Lavia Nara Hamishim Kesef, the Knas. Mm-hmm. And even if there's no possibility of consummating Velosi Elisha, nevertheless, there still is a Knas. That's our Mishnah.
The Indian that he has to marry her, how would you categorize that? Would you categorize that under Isurim or under Mamas?
Right, it's Ishus, it's Isur. It's creating a marriage relationship, Asar Akuli Alma Kehegdish, right? That's what you're
doing. It fits under Isurim.
Right, and now the Isurim dimension has nothing to do, according to our Mishnah, with the Mamanis direction. So Maman Lechud and Isur Lechud. So you want to know whether he has to marry her? That depends upon whether you can have an Ishus relationship with this woman. You want to know whether he has to pay the Knas? The answer is, well, he violated this woman, she was victimized, he has to pay the knas. So therefore the Mishnah goes ahead in the third category and gives us all the chayvei krisus to tell us that even though there's v'no v'losi Elisha, nevertheless there still is v'no san lavi anara chamishim, he has to pay the knas. The brisa that we're learning now, it takes a position that's absolutely antithetical, that v'losi Elisha is going to reveal, it's a gili mils on the entire parasha from beginning to end. including not just the ishus aspect of the parasha to obligate him to marry her, but even the mamon aspect, meaning the knas aspect. It's got to be a woman who can fit this description of a lo seal isha. If it's not a woman who fits that description, then there's no knas at all. Now, what is the description? What woman fulfills this requirement of a lo seal isha? That's going to be a machlokus between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Manasseh here towards the bottom of Chav Tes Amid Beis. According to Shimon HaTimni, who is this woman that's described as the victim of the onus? She's an isha sheyesh ba havaya. In other words, let's focus on the word tiyeh. Tiyeh means havaya. Havaya means ishus. Only a woman who can lend herself to ishus, meaning if he, the Ma'anis, would marry her, the Anusa, then the Torah would recognize that marriage.
Any form of recognition, even chayvei lavin.
Any form, right. I don't know what you mean by I wouldn't use that term, Yosef, any form. I tell you what I mean is that it's sort of black or white here. There's not any form. It means either that the Torah recognizes the, because again, if the Torah recognizes the marriage, mm-hmm. then if somebody has a relationship with her, that's a chiv misa for Eish HaSeish.
Right.
So what we're saying is that you have to answer the following question. Is there Tfisas Kedushin with this woman, or is there no Tfisas Kedushin? If there's Tfisas Kedushin, then that's considered an Isha Sheyesh Ba Havaya. Again, we're not encouraging him to marry her. In fact, he won't marry her. But she's included in the parasha because if he went ahead and he married her, the Torah would validate and recognize that marriage to the exclusion of Chayvei Krisus. Now the Gemara again is going to embark upon a whole sheet of Rabbi Akiva that ain't Kedushin Tosin at all in any case of a violation of an Issa. But we don't accept Rabbi Akiva in this count. And we hold that in Hilchasi Surei Bia, unless you reach the high level of Issa Kares, there is Tfisas Kedushin. So for example, if a man would marry a Mamzeres, the Torah does validate that marriage, even though there was a violation of a law. And if a Kohen would marry a Grusha or a Zona or a Chalola, then the marriage would be valid because it's only a lav. But if a man marries his sister, which is a Chayvei Krisus relationship, then there's no Tfisus Kedushin. Therefore, Shimon HaTimni Shimon HaTimni could not possibly be reconciled with our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says in the case of a Ma'anes Es Achoso, he pays the knas. Yeah. Well, that's impossible according to Shimon HaTimni, because such a woman in this context is excluded from the entire parasha, even in terms of knas. Because again, it's two sides of one coin. And she's not Lo Seal Isha because there's no Avaya. Insofar as Achoso is an Issa Kares, when a brother marries his sister, he can give her all the money in the world, with all the Edom Cherim in the world, and I don't care who's the Masada Kedushin, there's no validity of the Kedushin. Because Ein Kedushin Tovsin B'Chayvei Krisus. So therefore, since Achoso is Chayvei Krisus, this woman, Achoso, is not an Isha Sheyesh Bahavaya. That's Shimon HaTimni. Then we get to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. Mm-hmm. He has a different take on Velo Seal Isha. He agrees that Velo Seal Isha it defines and describes the woman who's included in the parasha of Knas. He agrees fundamentally that the parasha of Knas and Velo Seal Isha is an indivisible package deal that cannot be broken into parts. And only an Isha share. Only that woman is included in Knas.
Right.
However, he goes even a step further than Shimon HaTimni. He reads Velosia Leisha as an Isha Ra'uya Lekaima. Losia Leisha means that he's allowed to be married to her, that the Torah would encourage him to continue this marriage relation. Not just that the Torah would validate the marriage, but that the Torah would would permit the marriage. You know, we would have a chuppah of a kiddushin, and we would ben sheva brachas, and it's going to be a happy marriage, and so forth and so on. And the Gemara says, my beinayu, the nafkamina is going to be mamzeres and nesina. Why? Because these are chayvei lavin. So according to Shimon HaTimni, this woman who's either a mamzeres or nesina is included in knas, because yesh ba havaya. Because if he were to marry her, again, we're not encouraging that marriage, but the Torah would validate the marriage. She's a full-fledged Eishes Ish, because Kedushin Tosef Chayvei Lavin. On the other hand, if you go with Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, that Lo Si Elisha means Isha Ru'uya L'Kaima, she's not Ru'uya L'Kaima. The Torah would in no way allow this marriage to go on. He cannot be married to a Mamzeres or a Nesina. By the way, the word Nesina here, if you recall, as we discussed, is possibly an Isido Raisa, and that's the Shita Rabbeinu Tam, and many other Rishonim, or, as Rashi would have it, a Gzeras David HaMelech, it's only the Rabbanan. And then Nesina really, in a sense, doesn't belong here so much. But even if Nesina is only the Rabbanan, again, I'm not getting off on a tangent, but this has to be analyzed by Shiva Nekiyim, it could be that Isid Rabbanan of Nesina would be enough to be mafkia her status as an Isha Ruya L'Kaima and knock her out of the parasha of Onis, as far as Knas is concerned. I don't know. You have to know whether Isha Ruya L'Kaima would encompass the Rabbanans or not. But let's go quick to Rabbeinu Tam for the time being. Let's make life a little easier for ourselves. Both Mamzeres and Asina come under an Iser Doraisa called Chayvei Lavin. In the case of Mamzeres, Lo Yova Mamz Mekal Hashem. In the case of Asina, Lo Tischatein Bom. And therefore, according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, there's no knas in the case of Mamzeres and Nesina, because in these cases, she's not an Isha Ru'uya L'Kaima. On the other hand, Shimon HaTimni would say in these cases of Mamzeres and Nesina, it's an Isha Sheyesh Ba'avaya, the Torah would recognize the Kedushin because she's not Chayvei Krisus. But both Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon Asi would agree, they would gang up against our Mishnah in the case of Achoso and all the other Chiyuvei Karisus, there is no Knas, because Mimonavshav, she's not in this parish of Alosi Elisha. Either according to Shimon HaTimni, because Ein Ba Havaya, there's no Tfisus Kedushin in Chayvei Krisus, or according to Rav Shimon Asi, Ru'uya L'Kaima, and certainly in Chayvei Krisus, she's not Ru'uya L'Kaima, she's excluded totally from this parasha. There's no knas whatsoever Shibu against that.
Should Nasi hold that the condition of Tophis, but you have to get rid of her?
Correct, you're not allowed to marry her.
Right. Rabbi Akiva, then it's not
right, then we get to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that there's no Tfisus Kedushin in Chayvei Lav.
So he's like a middle position.
Right. He's just expanding the definition of Velosi Elish. He's saying Velosi Elish includes only any woman where we would encourage the marriage, but any woman where we would have to discourage the marriage because it's Ein Ruya L'Kaima, even if it's only Chayvei Lavin, that would be enough to take her out of the parsha of Isha Velosi Elisha, and even out of the parsha of what?
Knas.
Of Knas. So that's called Lafuke Mehaitana. But now we have another Lafuke. Okay, and now we want to turn to Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. And we're going to count down from the top of the Amud, approximately 10 lines. There should be a line that starts the word Lafuke. And actually, Ulafuke, because the Vav is Mosef Alinyan Rishon, not only is our Mishnah against both Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon Manasseh, who had the package deal theory, as I call it, that unless she's Velosi Elisha, she doesn't get Knas. It's also against Rav Nechunya ben Akona. Ulafuke mid Rav Nechunya ben Akona. Now, who is Rav Nechunya ben Akona in this particular context? If you're a mystic, you would say, oh, who is Rav Nechunya ben Akona? He's the author of the Sefer HaBoy here. But that's not for us. Oh, Desanya, we have a brisa. Rav Nechunya ben Akona ya ose es yom kipurim kishavos litashlumin. So here's the case, Rav Osai. The classic scenario of Kimle v'Ramine is in the Mishnah in Bava Kama, Hamadlik es gedishol shel chavero b'Shabbos. On Shabbos, We're going according to the Man Yomar, Havara Lechalek Yotz. This means Havara is one of the 39 Malachas. And he burns down his friend's haystack. And the Mishnah says that he doesn't have to pay. Why doesn't he have to pay? Because we're going to put him to death for violating the Shabbos. What happens if the same exact scenario took place, but not on Shabbos, but rather on Yom Kippur? Now, Yom Kippur is not a capital violation, it's only a Chiyuv Karis. Now, I shouldn't say only, I mean, that's pretty severe. But it's not up on the level of an Onish Bezdin, because Karis is an Onish Bidei Shamayim. So the Chachamim would say, no, only in the case of a Madlik es Gedishel Shel Chaver B'Shabbos, then and only then are you potter from Tashlumin, because Shabbos is a cardinal sin. It's a Chiyuv Skila. But in the case of Yom Kippur, which is not an Onish Bezdin at all, then he's got to pay for the Gadish under the laws of Mazikin. He's got to compensate the owner of the haystack. What's going to be Shomayim, that he's Chayv Kares, that's a different issue. Now, Rav Nachum ben Akoda makes his comment on a Mishnah in Masechta Megillah. If you've learned Masechta Megillah, there's a whole section of Mishnayos which is called Ein Bein. I taught Megillah recently in the Shtivlach, and if you say the words Ein Bein to me, I start getting headaches, you know, because it's just incredibly difficult. You have to know all of Shas inside out to really understand what the Ein Bein's about. Anyway, there's one Ein Bein that I have a little bit of an understanding about, a little bit. Ein Bein Shabbos Lioma Kippurim El Shezezdono Skilo Vezezdono Koros. So Rav Nachum ben Akoda says that if you read the Mishnah carefully, you'll see there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur except in the Chomeris HaOnish. Says Rav Nachum ben Akoda, that means let's accept an absolute equation between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, and therefore Haya Oses Yom HaKippurim Kishabbos. We equate Yom Kippur with Shabbos. For what? For Tashlumin. Tashlumin means if I violate on the Shabbos or Yom Kippur, do I pay Tashlumin? And it goes like this: Ma v'Shabbos mischayev v'nafshu potter min hatashlumin. Just like in the case of Misa es Bezdin for violating the Shabbos, your potter from tashlumin is af yom kippur mischayev v'nafshu potter min hatashlumin. That Shabbos and Yom Kippur are absolutely identical as far as everything except for the nature of the punishment, and therefore they are equivalent as far as the ptur tashlumin. Which means that if Reuven burns down Shimon's haystack on Yom Kippur, says Rav Nachum ben Akoda, Reuven will not have to compensate Shimon for the haystack. Why? Because he's chayav kares. Now, although Rav Nachum ben Akoda made this statement in the context of Yom HaKippurim, our sugya assumes that this statement has repercussions way beyond the confines of Yom HaKippurim, and basically it's a universal statement that applies to every Chiyuv Karetz. That Rabbi Nachum ben Akoda accepts an analogy between Misas Bezdin, which is an onish that we mete out in a human court, and Karetz, which is a punishment meted out in Shamayim. And in both cases, it knocks off a Chiyuv Tashlumei Mamon. And if that be the case, our Mishnah is antithetical to Rav Nachum ben Akoda, meaning that Rav Nachum ben Akoda would claim that in the case of the third category of our Mishnah, namely Chiyuvei Kares, there would be no Knas. There would be no Knas, not because of Velosi Elisha, because she's not in the parasha of Velosi Elisha, but she'd be excluded, for there would be no Knas here because Mischayev Benafsho. What does it mean, Mischayev Benafsho? He's not really Chayev Misa, but it's like Mischayev Benafsho because it's a Chiyuv Kares Bidei Shamayim. So again, Rav Nachum ben Akoda, his original statement was focused on Yom Kippur because he wanted to bring a proof from the Ein Bein. But his statement was fundamental about Chayvei Krisus, that Chayvei Krisus is like a substitute for Mises Bezdin. What we can't meet out here in our human court is meted out in Shamayim. But it's all the same. And it has the power to knock off a Chiyuv Tashlumei Mamon. And Abaye, in the very next sugya, is going to derive this from the pasuk V'lo yeh ason anoshe anesh, which is a parasha in Mishpatim about two men that were involved in a brawl. We'll call them Reuven and Shimon. Reuven took his fist, and he swung at Shimon. And we'll soon see that the force or the energy of that boxing blow, whatever the word is, was murderous. It was liable to kill Shimon. Shimon was very clever. Maybe he took martial arts, I don't know. And he steps on the side, and guess what? Who's standing behind him?
A pregnant woman.
Isha Hara. And now what happens is, the man, Reuven, hits Leah, who's pregnant. One thing for sure happens. She loses the vlad. She loses the fetus. Did she lose her life? We don't know. We're going to only know as days go on. We may have to wait till midnight till we finally know. But I was up very late last night. Anyway, so finally the results come in, and the Torah says the following: Im lo ye ason, if there's no tragedy, meaning she survives it, lo ye anesh. I'm sorry. Im lo ye ason anosh ye anesh. Then he has to pay for what's called dmei vlados. Again, don't ask me about dmei vlados. That's a sugya unto itself, right? So he has to pay dmei vlados. But the implication is im ye ason, which literally, you know, before we see abaye means if she dies, then lo ye anesh. Says Rav Nachum Yemen HaKohen, the way Abaye interprets it, the word ason is used deliberately by the Torah to indicate a broader kind of ason, and to tell me that any ason, even if it's an ason bidei shamayim, is included in this parasha. And now what we say is the following, according to Abaye's interpretation: if yia ason, if the man who violates whatever avera he violates is subject to the ason of kares, which is bidei shamayim, then lo ye onesh. And therefore, any time that a person will simultaneously violate and incur a chiyuv kares bidei shamayim and a chiyuv tashlume mamon, he will not pay mamon. Because the pasuk says lo ye onesh. Lo ye onesh. Meaning
ason mean even bidei shamayim.
Correct. How do we know that ason is even bidei shamayim? So for that we have to quote a very nervous father. Who's the first nervous father in history? It was Yankov. I mean, he was very nervous about his son Binyamin. Yosef was demanding Binyamin, and Yaakov was very, very nervous about it. Pen yikrenu ason. Again, the same word ason. So what follows here, which I'm not ready for this, so that's not for today, is a whole discussion in the Gemara. What was Yaakov Avinu nervous about? Was he nervous about some human intervention that Ganovim or Listed would come along and kill Binyamin? Or was he nervous even about something Bidei Shamayim, like maybe a lion will come and kill him, or Chas V'Shalom, or something like that? So if you assume the broader definition, that's a bias position, then the word ason has a broad scope that encompassing even ason bidei shamayim. If ason means bidei shamayim, this is gzeir shavu abaye, then ason in the parish of Kimlei the Ramimine of Yeonesh or Lo Yeonesh also refers to an ason bidei shamayim. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what I photocopied for you today are a few pages here of the Mishkanos HaRoim, and the first page that you should have is Kuf Yud Tes. Do you have such a page? Alright. There should be also another page. If you want, you could staple them together. It makes life a little easier. And we begin with a Gemara. Wait, let's just finish up one Gemara here that... there's one Gemara of Rav Chisda that I forgot to add to our list for today. I gave you a whole list of Gemaras here. But take a look on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. And Omer Rav Chisda, it's about line 6. Let me count it, 7, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, how many? Six lines down?
Six and a half.
Omer Rav Chisda. So I forgot to add this here. This is back in Shimon HaTivni and Rav Shimon Benassi. Here's the question. If you take a look at our Mishnah in the third category, amongst the chayve krisus, the last on the list is the al hanida. Now nida is a fish in water and a fish out of water. There's very striking similarity between nida and all the cases listed in the third group, insofar as habala nida's chayv karis. But there's one fundamental difference between nida and all the rest on the list, and that is that nida is just a temporary kind of situation. The isur is not a classic erva relationship, which means that forevermore she's asur. But the Gemara now points out that there's another fundamental difference between nida and everything else in that third category of chivi kares, and that is as far as Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon Ben Asya, which means v'lo siya le'isha. And the Gemara says the following: Omar al Chizda hakol modi bebal anida shemeshalin knas. Even though we find that Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon Ben Asya would object to our Mishnah in the third category of Chayvei Krisus, and they take offense at the fact that the Mishnah establishes that you pay Knas in Chayvei Krisus, they would say there is no Knas because she's not an Isha Ruya Lekaima or an Isha Bas Havoya. However, in the case of Nida, they have no offense whatsoever. They have no objection. And in fact, nobody would discuss and object to the fact that you pay knas for a ma'anes mafates hanid. And why is that? Wait, just give me one split second. Lemandi, Omer, if you go like Shimon HaTimni, he understood that it has to be tfisas kedushin. She's got to be an isha shehi bas havaya. His nida fulfills that requirement. Yesh ba havaya. It means that if a man is Mekadesh any Chayve Krisus whatsoever, there is no valid Kedusha, with one exception. And what's the one exception? A Nida. When I was a kid, I think things have changed since that time, they used to say that every other Chuppah is a Chuppah's Nida. The reason for that was very simple, because they used to send out the invitation 6 months in advance. Okay, that's still, they still do probably even today, but they didn't have all these, you know, pills and other kinds of interventional, you know, methods of deciding, you know, 6 months in advance whether she's going to be a nida at the time of the wedding or not. So that was very common, but I can tell you this: the Torah recognizes and validates the marriage to a nida. It doesn't mean that he's going to be able to take her into the chuppah and have beer with her. And the Rambam sheet is that in order to have chuppah, you need a chuppah ruya lebiyah. So you're going to have a problem with nesuin. But as far as kedushin is concerned, less man depoling that kedushin tofsin benida, because again, nida is a knapper erva. She's not a real bona fide erva. There's no kedushin to an erva, but she's not an erva. I mean, she's in a state of isur, which happens to reach that high level of chayvei krisus, but it's not an erva relationship. And I'll prove it to you. The shach goes back and forth on this issue, whether it's yehari val yavar in the case of a nida, and I think he comes to the conclusion that nida is not an erva, so it doesn't come under gili arayis against the same chayv karas, but it's not gili arayis in the sense of an erva. Well, for example, yichud with a, let's say, a pnuya nida would not be doraisa, even if you hold that yichud in general with an erva is doraisa, because a nida is not an erva. So there are many different discussions about this. What exactly is the status of a nida? There's a tosa at the beginning of Yevamos about nida. But what our Gemara clearly indicates that this tfisas kedushin in a nida, despite the fact that the relationship between the man and a nida would be that of a chiyuv karetz. So as far as Shimon HaTimni is concerned, this nida is included in the parish of Knas because she's a Bas Havoya. Lemandi Omer, let's go to Rav Shimon Ben Asya, Ru'uya L'Kayma. Well, Hanami Ru'uya L'Kayma. The Torah is not going to tell you that you have to divorce your wife, she's a Nida. I mean, if that be the case, we wouldn't have any marriages today, right? And maybe for the older people. So in any event, this is a very fascinating sugya. Go ahead, Herb, you want to say something?
No, they don't say anything about Achos Ishto. Because in a way, also, it's
you mean if his wife dies, then he can marry her sister.
I mean, it's less.
I'll tell you why. Because death is not something that the halacha that the halacha considers as imminent. In other words, we're not talking about a transitory iser. Every single marriage erva, and I can give you a whole list of them, are all dependent upon misa. But it doesn't mean that therefore it's not an erva relationship. Right now, it's a full fledged erva. Nida is something different. Nida means
I understand that
is dam nidus. You know, it's a different kind of thing. Okay, Rabosai. So now I think we have all the three sugyas that I wanted to see. For as background. For this Gemara. Okay. So let's just review. Our mission is against Shimon HaTimni, it's against Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, and it's against Rav Nechunya ben Akkadah. Now, in the sequence, in the structure of the sugya, we find the words Lafuke Midrab Nechunya ben Akana at the very end of this structure of what we saw today. I'm not saying it's the end of the entire chapter in Eilu Naris, but what it is that we started with Lafuke Shimon HaTimni and Shimon Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, and then we went on Hakol Modim Bibal Anida, and then we have Lafuke Midrab Nechunya ben Akana. So the question is, how do you understand these words of Lafuke Midrab Nechunya ben Akon? So he quotes Rashi. If everybody could put their finger on Rashi, I'm just going to read it in the Mishkan Sarom, simply for it's a little bit easier for me in terms of time and so forth. Rashi says that the words Lafuke Midrab Nechunya ben Akon Lokoi amilsa derav chizda da kol modim bibal anidish mishalim knas ela amas nisim koi. Now, apparently, as we go along, we're going to see that Tosis has a whole different pshat, but right now, we're going to offer the pshat of Rashi. And what Rashi does is, he puts a... what do we call it? Like if you're waiting online at the supermarket, you know, to separate your order from the next order. You know that little stick? Is there a word for that? Yes, no, maybe? Anybody? You know what you mean? You know what I'm talking about? So that she shouldn't...
Divider.
Excellent. That's the word I wanted, you feel. Divider. You know, with me, my craziness, if I'm looking for a word and I don't get it, it's just I'm out of my Caleb. There's a divider. Rashi puts a divider here between the Gemara about Nida, which was a statement of Rav Chisda that immediately came before Lafuke Midrab Nechunya ben Akana, and Lafuke Midrab Nechunya ben Akana. What does he gain by putting down this divider?
What he quoted in Rashi is not in Rashi.
Exactly.
We didn't find the Rashi.
I'm looking at Lafuke Midrab Nechunya. Those are not the words that Rashi said.
Oh, we'll find the Rashi. Rabosi, we'll find the Rashi. Maybe it's not here, it's elsewhere. Okay, we'll find the Rashi. But let me just get the logic here, and then we'll try to find the Rashi inside. Okay then? Oh. So what is this divider? It allows you to jump back one step. Because you never know when you see the word Lafuke what it's referring to. Is it referring to that which came immediately? You know, you have A, B, and then A is a comment on B, or it goes back to the original A. So Rashi is going to learn that Lafuke Midrab Nechunya ben Akana goes back to our Mishnah. And just like we've established that our Mishnah is rejected by Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon HaNasya, our Mishnah would be rejected by Rav Nechunya ben Akana. There would be no Knas in the case of Chayvei Krisus. But there's another possibility, and that is to explain that this Lafuke Midrab Nechunya ben Akana, if you remove that divider, is going on the previous statement in the Gemara immediately before it of Rav Chisda, Hakol Modim Bibal Anida, that everybody agrees in the case of Nida that there is a payment of Knas. And we explain that if we calculate according to the various Tanoim, Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon HaNasseh about Velosi Elisha, either way, Mimon of Shach, Anida is included in Velosi Elisha. Now, Lafuke, Midrab Nechunya ben Akana, meaning that in the case of Nida, you just said Akol Modim, everybody agrees that Baal HaNida pays knas. Hold your horses. What do you mean everybody agrees? Meaning, not only does the Mishnah agree that you pay knas in the case of Nida, the Mishnah in general is not committed to this package deal, correct? But even Shimon HaTivni and Rav Shimon Asi who pontificate that the Mishnah, that the Halacha postulates a package deal, even so, Nida's included in Velosi Elisha. But wait a minute, don't tell me Akol Modim. Don't tell me that every single Tana on the face of the earth is going to agree that in the case of Baal HaNida, you have to pay knas. No, Rav Nachman ben Akona would object to this. I will toast this mefarsh, the Rav Chizda Kamar law. Notice, this is all a continuation of the statement of Rav Chizda. The Amul Sayhu Koi, he just said, Akol Modim. Okay, that's fine. Hakol Modim means Rav Shimon Asi is Modim Mishnah and Shimon HaTimani is Modim Mishnah, but lo ki der Rav Nachman ben Akona. So Rav Osai, just again, before we get to the technicalities here, we have to read this all inside. I'm not Chas Shalom trying to duck that, but just on the fundamental question here that's being raised, we said that Nida is very different than all Chayvei Krisus. How far are we going to go with that? When we get to Rav Nachman ben Akona, Rav Nachman ben Akona says that if simultaneously you incur a chiv tashlumei mamon and a chiv kares, you don't pay tashlumei mamon. That the chiv kares incurred by this action alleviates or knocks off, if you will, the chiv tashlumei mamon. That was Rav Nachman ben Akona's position. Well, we should apply that logically to the case of a Baal HaNida. Don't tell me that everybody agrees that Baal HaNida pays knas. That can't be. It could never be true according to Rav Nachman ben Akona. Now, if that's the statement here of Lafuke ben Rav Nachman ben Akona, then let's open up a different question. Wow, this could be wild. Is it possible then to reconcile our Mishnah with Rav Nachman ben Akona? According to Rashi, once you set this divider, then a lafukim in Rav Nachman ben Akona goes back to our Mishnah, and it means Rav Nachman ben Akona rejects our Mishnah. It could be possible now, if we take away this divider, that Rav Nachman ben Akona rejects our Mishnah, but only in the case of Nida, and he would accept it in all other cases. Now we're going to have to analyze how could it be possible that Rav Nachman ben Akona could accept that Mishnah, that there's a payment of knas, when at the same time he violates and incurs a chiyuv kares. So far, so good? All right, now let's look for the Rashi and the Tosfos.
Are you saying Rav Nachman ben Akona argues the Mishnah by Nida, or
I don't know,
argues with the whole thing?
Right. But so again, until now we said that Rav Nachman ben Akona argues with the whole Mishnah.
Right.
Is it possible?
But now you just said that it's possible.
It's possible that Rav Nachman ben Akona might lower his guard in the case of Chayvei Krisus as far as Knas is concerned.
Generally,
in other words, is it possible that the Chiyuv Kares? I'm sorry. Start again. Is it possible that the Chiyuv Knas in our parasha of Onis Mefateh is radically different than all other Chiyuv Kares, or shall I say, all other overlaps of a Tashlumei Mamon with a Chiyuv Kares?
But not just by Nida.
Oh yeah, we'll get back to Nida in just a second, but just sort of give me 1 second. What I'm suggesting is the following. Is it possible that when we read the parasha of Onis Mefateh and the Torah says Yochayev Kare, I'm sorry, and the Torah says that you have to pay knas, is it possible that this parsha, in the framework of Rav Nachman ben Akona, will reject or it will form an exclusion to the general rule of Chayvei Krisus? Meaning, is it possible that Rav Nachman ben Akona could agree that this Chiyuv Mamon called Knas would apply even in a Chiyuv Kari situation, such that maybe our Mishnah in its general form would not necessarily knock off Rav Nachman ben Akona? Rav Nachman ben Akona would not be open to the possibility that despite the chiyuv karis, let's say bala choso, he would still pay knas, even according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Now, in order to appreciate that possibility, we go back to the sugya daf choftes. Choftes amid beis. So we're really tying together a lot of different sugyas today. The Gemara asks the following question. Just 1 second. I'm looking for Minani Mili. Just 1 second. Give me a second. Choftes amid beis. It should be right before Omer Reish Lakish, but I'm not finding Minani Mili. Okay, maybe there is no Minani Mili. Okay. Oh, let's start with Hani B'nei Knossa Ninhu. Maybe we could start from there. Instead, there's no Minani Mili. Vahani B'nei Knossa Ninhu.
Where are you?
This is the top of Chav Tesamid Beis.
First one.
And the Gemara is asking this as a question. Meaning, the Torah says, Velosi Aleisha in the Parsha Ma'anis. And even before we suggest two different interpretations, that of Shimon HaTimni and that of Rav Shimon Asya, it seems clearly that the Torah is addressing itself to a case of a woman who's Re'uyalo at the very minimal. So the burden of proof now is on you to establish B'nai Knossa Ninu. That in fact you do pay knas. Vamai, why should you pay knas? You must have a source for this. Ikri kan velosi aleisha? Question mark. Can you tell me that these ladies are included in the parsha of knas? The parsha of knas is velosi aleisha, isha ruilo. And yet the Gemara now is formulating the view of Rav Shimon ben Asi, but that's not really relevant to us. The point is that you have to tell me that the Torah is addressing, as far as Knas is concerned, even the case of a blocked relationship, meaning even a case where he had this onus with a woman that he shouldn't be married to. Even in that case, there's a Knas. Who tells you, who establishes that the Knas is independent of the other dimension of the parasha of Alosi Elisha? The burden of proof is on you. Again, in the Braisa, we have two Tanoim who say that ain't a finami. If it's not Isha Ruyalo, then there's no Knas. But our Mishnah reflects the opinion that there's Knas despite the fact that she's not an Isha Ruyalo. How do we know this? Now, the answer to this question is either a Shlokish or a Papa. Now, what's similar to both Reish Lakish and a Papa is both of them calculate three extra words. That's actually not accurate. Well, there only are two extra words in each case. But what we mean is chad legufe, we need one word for itself, and then we have two extra words. So according to Reish Lakish, we're going to look in the parasha in Kitetze, and it says Nara, Hanara, and Nara. There are three times the Torah uses the word Nara in one form and another. So Reish Lakish says Chad Legufe, which means we need one Nara to tell us that we, you know, the Torah is talking about a Nara. And then Chad and Chad. Now let's understand. Rav Papa is also going to have the same structure, but not from the parasha in Kitetze, but rather the parasha in Mishpatim, in the parasha of Mefat. There you don't find the word Nara. But what you find is the word Besula. He also calculates three times. Besula, Besulos, Habesulos. Again, I'm avoiding all the nuances of the Hey Ayidia and the Hey that's missing and Kri and Ksiv. I mean, I'm just cutting that all out right now. Because what I want to show you is that the structure of Reish Lakish and Rav Papa are simply mirror images one of the other. Right. They each have three psukim, or three words. One is going to be Legufe, and then we have Chad V'Chad. Now, what do we do with v'chad v'chad? We have the extra one and then another extra one. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a hierarchy of nashim psulos. What I mean is the following. The first word in the pasuk, which is legufe, whether it's naro or besula, that's talking about an isha kshera, a woman simply that he's allowed to marry. Doesn't mean he was allowed to rape her, but he's allowed to marry her, right? Then we're going to climb the ladder of Isurei Bia to introduce Noshim Psulos. And again, this all fits into our Mishnah, which insists that even Noshim Psulos you pay knas. So we have to find a drasha for that, because otherwise we're stuck with Velosi Elisha Isha Ruila. So we must find a drasha that's going to come Lafuke and is going to establish that even though he had this relationship with a woman that he's not allowed to be with, nevertheless, and he can't marry her, nevertheless, he pays knas. Well, Eilecha Bola B'Fidusha, we have to take the lower Chiddush. So as we climb up the hierarchy, we start with the lowest rung, the least Chiddush, and that's going to be Chayvei Lavin. Then we're going to go up to the next rung, and that's going to be Chayvei Krisus. Can we go up to the third rung, which is Chayvei Misa? The answer is no, because we only have the extra two psukim. We have the Chad Lagufei and the extra two. So Chad L'Chayvei Lavin and Chad L'Chayvei Krisus. Again, there are a lot of questions we could ask here, because there are lower echelons on the hierarchy. For example, there's such a thing as a lav de kuhuno, which is a lav shein shava b'kol, and there's also something called mitzri and adomi, which is chayve essay, and it's not even a lav. And then we might have something called an iser abba mechlal essay, and so forth and so on. But what we have to accept as a given here is that in this structure, there are like three, you know, we in this pyramid, going from the lower echelon to the higher, there are three kinds of lavim, of isuri bi, of this lav of a chayve malchus, there's a lav of a chayve krisus, and then there's a lav of a chayve misa. We only have a ribui for two, so we only can go up the ladder one plus one. We can't go all the way to the top. Hence, we know that there's a chi of knas in the cases of chayve lavim and chayve krisus. Well, wait a minute. Here's where Rav Nachuni ben Akon is going to come into play. Because Rav Nachuni ben Akon says that in general, if you do a maisa that incurs a chi of kares, you don't pay money. There's no tashlumi mamon. But on the other hand, we have these ribuyim. We have Nara ha nara naros, we have basula ha basula ha basulos, and now we have two ribuyim. Now two ribuyim have to take me up one rung on the ladder from chayve lavim all the way to chayve krisus. Could it be, therefore, that although as a universal rule in all cases of tashlumei mamon, Rabbi Nachuni ben Akona says that you cannot incur a chi of karis and a chi of mamon at the same time, but the exception to the rule is going to be this parsha of knas, because the Torah has these ribuyim, and one of them, the last of which, is going to tell me that even in chayve krisus you pay the knas. Fascinating, no?
What do they do with the third?
Just one second. Go ahead. And I don't want to cut you off. Just if you don't mind, while we're listening to Herb, just put your finger on Akol Modin. This on Daf Lamed of Nal Tosis Diri Maskal Akol Modin. Yeah, just the first line in Tosis.
What do they do with the third ribui? You have four ribuyim.
Only three.
You have the Nara three times and Hanara.
No. Hanara is one of the three. It's Nara, Hanara, and Hanaros. It's Basula, Habasula, and Habasula.
Don't darsh anything from the extra hay. Rashi says here.
I don't know. Again, Herb, if I had the koyach, I'll do me a favor. Hit me with this after the shiur. I just want to get to the point you can trust me. I'm not lying to you. There are only three ribuyim. There are only three ribuyim. We'll have to work out all the details. I'm just trying to, you know. That question is really for my 7:30 shiur. If you're ever up very early and you want to daven in a quick minyan, you'll join me in the shtiblach. And then from 7:30 to 8:15, we go through Nara and Hanara and Hanaras, and with the hay and the extra hay at the beginning of the word and the end of the word. Yeah. That's for the shtiblach. I don't mean to be pejorative. I think John is with me in the shtiblach. John, we do a good job, no?
Absolutely.
Well, you had no choice but to say that. Otherwise, you know, you'll be out over there where I, you know. Anyway, I think we do a good job in the 45 minutes that we have. Oh. So Tosus asks the following kasha. Hakol modim bibal anido shemeshalim knas. Okay. Just one second. I'm not sure. Wait one second. Give me a second, because Oh, okay. So that part of Tosfos is not important. Fast forward, if you will, to kosher. This is on line 4 in Tosfos, the third word in line 4. You have it? Minolon de les leilu rab nechunya. How do we know that our Mishnah is rejected by Rav Nechunya? No, Rav Nechunya and our Mishnah are mutually exclusive, because Rav Nechunya says you don't pay mamon when you incur a chiyuv kares. And he says the following. He says, just one second, I lost the place. Okay, now I'm not finding it. Oh, I'm sorry, Vitema. Okay, finally. So we're in line 5, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Line 6 in Tosfos. Vitema. Everybody with me? Hopefully this time I got it right. Two strikes, but not the third. Let's see. Vitema minolan de mafka mina. How do we know that our Mishnah is coming to exclude Rav Nechunya ben Akona in the case of Chayvei Kris pei Knas? Dilma mod Rav Nechunya de Chayvei Krisus Yeshlem Knas. Do you see those words? Unbelievable. Maybe Rav Nechunya would be mod the Chayvei Krisus pei Knas. It doesn't make any sense. It's the whole Avamina Tosfos is antithetical to everything we know. All the assumptions of Asugi is that you cannot incur a Chiv Tashlube Mamon and a Chiv Kna and a Chiv Kari simultaneously. It cannot be done. So what's Tosfos hacking over here? He says the Rabinu Kra. Based on, maybe Rav Nechunya would have to concede in this particular context of Knas because of Ribinu Kra, Ribui Kra. You know, very often we have rules and then we have exceptions to the rules based on a Ribui. And what is the Ribinu Kra? Chad Lechayve Lavim, Chad Lechayve Krisus.
Good question.
And if you accept this Tosfos, again, Tosfos is going to work very hard to try to reject this Havamina, the Nirul Rashba at the end, but if you accept the Havamina of Tosfos, then maybe when the Gemara says here, Lafuki min Rav Nechunya ben Akana, that's not referring to our Mishnah at all. It could be possible that Rav Nechunya ben Akana could accept our Mishnah. Again, we're going to have to talk about Nida, but I'm going to leave out Nida for a second. That when the Gemara said Lafuki min Rav Nechunya ben Akana, it wasn't referring to our Mishnah. Rashi puts that divider and he allows you to say Lafuki goes back to our Mishnah. But if you don't accept that Rashi, and Lafuki is a discussion about Nida, and what's the status of a Nida as far as a Chiv Mamon is concerned, okay, now we can talk about Nechunya ben Akana, because Nida might not be an Erva, but nevertheless he incurs a Chiv Kares, and maybe that alone could knock off the Chiv Mamon. But as far as the concept of Knas per se, meaning if we isolate Nida as a separate issue as to whether or not Nida is considered like Chayvei Krisus or not like Chayvei Krisus, let's say, for example, the Gemara is going to tell us later on that according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana, if while he is being boel in Erva, he rips somebody else's shirayim. So the Gemara is going to say, according to Rav Ashi at least, that he doesn't have to pay the shirayim. Why? Because simultaneous with his chiyuv kares for being boel in Erva, he incurred a chiyuv mazik of tashlumi moment. He doesn't have to pay that moment. Wild, no? Again, that's a whole sugi unto itself, but I'm just pointing out that you would ask the question, if while he's being boel in Nida, would he have to pay for damages if he damaged someone while he was boel in Nida? And the Gemara has a case where, you know, he did the Be'ila in such a way that he caused damages, and whether he pays for those damages or not. That's one issue. And from that perspective, you might argue that Nida is like any other Erva, and he incurs a Chiv Kares. But if you're talking about our Mishnah, and you're focusing on the issue of Knas, it could be that by virtue of these extra Ribuyim, which jacks us up to the level of Chiyuv Kares, then there's a Chiyuv Knas, even though he incurs a Chiyuv Kares. And that would be the exception to the rule of Rav Nachunya ben Akiva.
Doesn't this undermine the whole premise of Rav Nachunya ben Akiva? The whole reason why he said by Chai Ve'ilav?
I mean, maybe this would be the...
Because of the Yom Kippur, the Rosh Hashanah thing, ain't bang. Now there is another bang. In other words, he just undermined his whole logic for what he said to begin with. The Chai Ve'ilav.
But what do you mean by another... I don't follow what you mean by another bang. What do you mean? No, I got you. But what do you mean by another bane?
Now saying that the knas is a case that doesn't follow the rule.
No, again, ein bane means that the Mishnah in Megillah equates Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
Which he then extended elsewhere.
So he says, I'm going to equate Shabbos Yom Kippur as far as Tashlumi Mammon is concerned. And that remains the same. The fact that in Knas, Reb Nachunya...
not the same, because he just said that in cases of Chai Ve'i Krisus, Reb Nachunya will accept the possibility of a monetary payment.
No, only in the Knas. Only because in the case of Knas, the Ma'anis and Mafate, where the Torah has a special reboot. But as a universal rule, Reb Nachunya ben Akana says, you cannot incur a Chiyuv Mammon at the same time that you Chai Ve'i Kares. And therefore, the Ain Bain is perfect. There's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
So, Ain Bain, except when there's a Xerxes cluster from the Torah tells you otherwise. So, this is Bain.
Again, I don't think you feel you're with me on the same page here in this case. Usually, we're always on the same page, but in this case, I don't think we're on the same page. The Ain Bains are taking two concepts and comparing and contrasting them. Shabbos and Yom Kippur have 39 malachas. That's what the Mishnah is trying to say. If you violate those malachas, here's the bein. The Ella, here you chayev misa, and here you chayev kares. Comes along Rav Nachunya ben Akana and says, well, let me come up with another nafkamina between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. You violate a malach on Shabbos, you don't pay damages. You violate a malach on Yom Kippur, you do pay damages, because there's no chiyuv bidei Adam, is only a chiyuv bidei shamayim. Says Rav Nachunya ben Akana, from non-investment, from here we can conclude that you don't pay damages on Yom Kippur. And now you're asking a different question.
No, I'm not. If there was no pasuk to teach me that knas is different, then I answer Rabbi Chunya ben Akana. In case of knas and Chai Ve'i Krisus, would you pay the knas?
No.
Why not? Because of the ain bein. He learns it from the same concept.
He learns it from Asson. I was just trying to give you a little bit of the background. Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana wanted to prove that even the Tan of the Mishnah accepted his sheet. Because otherwise, why did he leave it as the only ain bane is that this is dono misa, this is dono kares? I could have another additional bane, another nafkamina between Shabbos. You know, that was just the deal in which he wants to show you that the Mishnah waves his flag. You know, it's on his part. He joins the coalition. You know what I'm saying? But in terms of where Rav Nachunya ben Akana and how he derived this conclusion, that comes from Asson. That's the Gzeirah Shov of Asson. Now we're taking that Gzeirah Shov and we're asking, well, how to reconcile that with Chad and Chad, with all the Ribuyim that we have in the parish of Ma'anis or Mafata. And there, Enochinami, the answer is that maybe that's a different mechanics, and the Torah is really taking Knas out of the general concept of Tashlume Mom. And by the way, we, as we discussed yesterday, great length, Knas is very different than Mammon. You remember that we discussed that there's a concept called Hamad Bedin, and that Knas is not a Chiyuv that's generated by the Maisa. Maybe there's no Mechila before Hamad Bedin, whereas the Mechila on every other Chiyuv Mammon. Maybe Knas could apply even Pachas Mishav Pruta, where Mammon doesn't apply Pachas Mishav Pruta. You can find many Nafkamin. The Gemara says, ain't done in Knas else but Bavel, because we don't have what's called a mumcha. We don't have a yachid mumcha. We don't have a samuch. That's ish mipiish. For knas, we need a samuch. So there are many different dinim by knas. Now, according to Rav Nachunya ben Akana, we're finding another difference. But again, what I just told you is very suspicious. You know what I just told you. It's just, you know, don't take it too seriously, because I don't believe for one minute that we're making a universal rule about all knosses here according to Rav Nachunya ben Akana. I don't think so. Again, if one argued so, I would not throw him out, because there's a logic to that. But right now, we're limited to one particular knas. In one parasha, that's the parasha of Onis and Mafate, we have a knas, and the Torah went out of its way to tell you that he was Ma'anis Achai V'Krisus, and he pays the knas. And Rabbi Chunya ben Akana would embrace that. So don't just tell me lafuke that because you saw a Bal Achoso in that Mishnah, then it cannot reflect the Shita of Rabbi Chunya ben Akana. So now we have a Pnei Yoshua, Let's see if we can make sense out of the Pnei Yoshua.
I don't like the Rosh Bosh Teretz, I'll tell you, I'll discuss that with you later.
Say it a little
I don't like the Rosh Bosh Teretz in Tosha.
Oh, okay.
I'll discuss that with you.
All right, we'll get to that a little bit later. I just wanted to show you that there was an Amin in Tosis that maybe Rabbi Chuyim Ben HaKadah would be Moda.
Yeah.
He would concede the exception to the rule in the case of Manas and Mefata because we have these Rivuyim, which is very fascinating. Now, I'm a little bit perplexed here. Where is this Rashi in Tosfos? Just one second. You're saying that Rashi is not here, so we have to find the Rashi.
It's here.
Oh, you did find it?
Yeah, it's Medayik in the
Oh. Because you got me very nervous.
It's a Lashon.
It's not straightforward. Yeah.
Well, which is the Diva Master? Just so I Osios Machkimos here.
Well, Thugar Chanunya.
Yeah, Mastis in the Machayev Tashlumin Lebalacho. So Afal P. Shemischayev Karis Bibiyaso Mifka Mirab Nechunya. So Rashi clearly assumes this divider in a sense that it's going back to the Mishnah. Just one second. So that's the Rashi. And does Tosis here address the case of Nida? This Tosis I call Modim. I don't see that he discusses neither per se. I'm just wondering out loud. Just one second. Okay, so that remains to be seen. Okay. I see. He's also being medayik this. In second, the chayv increase between tashlumin. Just one second. Let's see the ishish. Yeah. So the truth is that the Tosis that he has in mind about Lafuke is this Tosis HaKol Moda, but not the second half of Tosis that we were focused on, but rather the first half of Tosis. So if we have time, maybe not today, we'll go through that Tosis. Now, the Pnei Yoshua has a Rashi in Masecht Pesachim on Daf Chav Tes Omer Aleph. Do we have John a Masecht Pesachim?
Do I have one?
Can I show you maybe if we have? I think we had one here on the table, but I don't know. You know what? Just to be sure, let's bring in a Masecht Pesachim. Now, if you'll notice, when the Gemara quotes from the Chunyim Ben Akana in that Brisa. So you'll see in the Mesoros HaShas, there's a little aleph there. Yeah? Which is the top right on your page, I think, on Lamed Amud Aleph. So if you take a look, he says to look in Psachim, Chav Tes Amud Aleph. So if somebody, maybe else, if you wouldn't mind doing this for me, open up to Chav Tes Amud Aleph and see if you could find Rav Nechunya Ben Akana quoted there. That's the original Brisa that was pasted here. And Rashi Dibra Maskelis Yom HaKippurim
Yom HaKippurim Kishabbos.
Yes.
Okay.
So what does Rashi say over there? You want to read it out loud?
Hamadlik Adish B'Yom HaKippurim U'Mitchayev Karei Hatur Min HaTashlumim Ke'ilu Idliko B'Shabbat Shehu Mitchayev B'Nafsho Mitat Beitin De'Pshita Lan De'Patur Mil Shalem Ke'Dichtiv V'Lo Yehiye Ason Anoshi Anesh Ha'im Yason Yehiye Lo Yehanesh Shaf Yom HaKippurim Shemitato Bidei Shemayim Shenichratim Chayav Uvanav Ason Hu Karui Shene'emar V'Karahu Ason. That's from Yosef Hilkach Patur Mi L'Shalem V'Hachi Parshinan La Be'elu Narod Yesh To'im De'Kashya Lehu Ki Patar Rav Nechuyinia B'Mezid Patar De bar karetu v'hachi b'shogegas kinan midikatani me'al v'shogeg lav bar karetu
V'taru. Okay, those are that part of Rashi is totally in the Sugim Psochim, which we're not learning now. Yeah. But what's most important is that Rashi's quoting a Shita that maintains that Rav Nechunya ben Akana is only referring to a mezid, but not a shogeg. Do you have such a thing in Rashi? I heard it as you read it, but just I want you to focus on it again. Can you reread that line where he differentiates between shogeg and mezid one more time? Ki potter of Nechunya ben mezid potter. Now let's just think about this. What's happening is that Rav Nechunya ben Akana, according to this shita as quoted in Rashi, is referring to not an avera, but rather a punishable avera. And basically, Rav Nechunya ben Akana breaks out of a certain circle and he says that even though the punishment is not meted out by Bezdin, but rather by Shamayim, that too is within the purview of Kim Levi the Rabbinine. However, Rav Nechunya ben Akana is not focused on the Avera per se, but rather on the Onesh. If we would shift the emphasis to the Avera, then it would make no difference whether he violated that Avera b'shogeg or b'mezid, as long as the Avera is Machayev Kares. And we're going to soon see that there are those who maintain that even in a case of shogeg, where there is no onesh, we still apply the principle of kim levi d'rami. That's going to be the famous brisa of Chizkiah, which is called chayvei mises shogegin. So let's say, for example, a person was a shogeg and he killed somebody. Mm-hmm. He would not pay monetary damages, even though he was a shogeg, which means Bezdin is not going to mete out two punishments. If they would be mechayvim to pay damages, it would be only one punishment. Yet, the avera of Ritzicha, even though it was violated without an onish Bezdin, is enough to knock off Tashlum. And the source for that would be this case of Isha, of Nagfu Isha Har, because according to one man, the Omar, I'm not saying we all agree with this, Niskami Laragazeh Varagazeh Potur. So if Niskami Laragazeh Varagazeh Potur, then when he kills the woman, why does the Torah say Lo Yeyonish? Asanyeh Lo Yeyonish. Because he's not going to be punished as a Rotzeach, he never intended to kill this woman. You know, you wouldn't give him Shishi because he intended to kill somebody, but he didn't intend to kill this woman. So the old Niskami Laragazeh Varagazeh is Potur, according to one man, the Omar, then the parasha of Kim Levi the Rabbinei exceeds beyond the purview of Onshei Bezdin. Even if Bezdin is not going to be meeting out two punishments, they're only meeting out this monetary punishment. Nevertheless, there's a Ptura Tashlumen of Kim Levi the Rabbinei. And Chizkiah goes a step further and he says that even Chayvei Mises Shogegin, a person was absolutely Shogegin. Not the case of the Skavi Laragazeh, but the case where he had no Kavana and he killed someone b'shogeg. Again, I shouldn't say no kavana because that touches on the sugya misasik. But let's say it was like he was throwing knives and a knife fell and killed someone. No, that's misasik. But I'm talking about a case where let's say he thought that he has to hit him because he's a shliach bezdin and he's giving another malchus, and he gives the malchus when the guy is really not able to take the malchus and he kills him, so he's a shogeg. Well, let's say, according to one shita, Omer Muta, he doesn't know that you're not allowed to violate the Isur of Ritzicha, the very strange halacha. Anyway, so Chayim Mises is shogegin, or let's say a guy was shogeg on Shabbos, he didn't remember it was Shabbos, he doesn't pay Tashlumin. However, Rashi in Masechta Psochim is reflecting a whole different shita. According to Rashi, we're talking about an onesh, we're talking about a mezid. Again, we still have Rav Nechunya ben Akana's revolution. He's expanding it even to an onesh b'dei shamayim, but there is an onesh, and a heavy duty onesh, you know, a high scale onesh, knocks off tashlumei mama. But if he would have been a shogeg, then he would not be included in the p'tur of ason yeh v'lo yeh onesh. Now, there's a tosis there of Sochim Dibra Maskel Rav Nechunya, and he insists that even in the case of Chayvei Krisis Shogegin, according to Nechunya ben Akana, he's potter from tashlum. So this is fascinating because according to Shitas HaTosfos, there are going to be two approaches to Kimlei and the Rami that are fundamentally different. Not just the issue of whether Kimlei and Rami applies to Onish Beis Din, but much more than that. Does Kimlei and the Rami apply to Onshim or to the Avera? What determines Kimlei and the Rami? So for example, in the case of Chivi Misos, we're going to paskin that Chivi Misos shoging in is Chayav B'Tashlum. And there, everything depends upon the Onish. But when we get to Chayav Krisus, and that's from the Chuli Ben Akana, then we're going to pass that even in the case of Shogeg, it's the Aver per se that knocks off the Chiv Tashlum. So why isn't that in Misa, we're saying that it's the Onesh that knocks off the Chiv Tashlum? And in the case of Krisus, which is from the Chemia, we're going to say it's the Avera per se that knocks off the Chiv Krisus.
And if the Avera is not punishable by death because of the Shogeg, it's still the Avera.
When in the case of Chiv Karis, according to Tosfos, but not in the case of Chiv Misa. So in the case of Chiv Karis, a man didn't know this was his sister, so in such a case he doesn't pay damages. Why? Because Tosfos takes Rav Nechunya ben Akana one step further. Rashi is not willing to go this far. Tosfos is willing to say that Rav Nechunya ben Akana is going to take a Chiv Karis and it's going to define the nature of the Avera. And if the Avera is such that it could generate a Chiv Karis, it knocks off Tashlumei Mamon.
That's
in the case of Chiv Misa, we're not going to accept Chizkia, Tanuv Bei Chizkia. We're going to say that it's only Chayav Misas before, when the Beis Din is taking him out to the Beis Haskila, then they declare that he's part of Tashlumei Mamon. But if he was a Shogeg and Beis Din's arms are tied, there's a Maisa Vera, but there's no Chiv Onshim, then we are Machayav him Tashlumei Mamon.
Sure, it should be just reversed.
Okay, we'll get to it in just a second, but I just want to tell you what the Pnei Yoshua is trying to get from this. What is this whole issue here of Rashi and Tosim Psochim have to do with our sugya of HaKol Modin? And the Pnei Yoshua wants to say this is all Lishitaso, I mean, typical Pnei Yoshua, that we can line up one Rashi here in Masechta Ksubis with Rashi and Masechta Psochim, and one Tosis here in Masechta Ksubis with Tosis and Masechta Psochim. How does he accomplish this goal?
And it's the Masoret HaShas quotes it from Ketubot Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, Chizkiah,
right. Chizkiah makes sense according to Tosis, because Chizkiah holds even in the case of Chayvei Misas, if he was a Shogeg, he's part of Tashlumin. He says, "Ulefi zelo matzi Rashi lefarish dekai al ba'al hanida." Rashi didn't have the luxury of interpreting lafuke as referring to nida. Sheri mishkachas lechiv knas gam benida kagon sheba aleo b'shogeg. So he says the following: what would be the Gemara if you assume that the Gemara, if you understand my phrase, if you take out the divider, and we're going to try to explain why Rashi has to put in the divider, if you take out the divider, then it makes no sense. Why? Because you can't tell me that our Mishnah that says that Baal Anida pays Knas is against Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Because there is a case in Nida where Baal Anida would pay Knas, even according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Why? Because Rashi Shita is that Rav Nechunya ben Akana only applies to what? To Chayvei Krisus Mezidin, but not to Chayvei Krisus Shogegim. Well, the Mishnah might be referring to a case of Baal Anida, and he didn't know she was a Nida, and therefore he was a Shogeg. In such a case, Rav Nechunya would agree that he pays Knas. Maybe that's the case of the Mishnah. This is the Chiddush of the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua is offering his own Ukimta, which was so attractive to him and so logically compelling that he came to the conclusion that based on that ukipta, Rashi had to reinterpret this sugya by placing a divider into this sugya. Ubalav hachi leko li ukme memra derav chizda b'chol inyan da'al Rav Yochanan hecha di asru be'lamalkis eno mishalim knas. Right, there's a principle called Eino Loka Mishalim. That's a principle we're going to get to later on Daf Lamed Beis of Rabbi Yochanan, which means that if they gave him Asra in the case of Psulos for Malkos, he doesn't pay the Knas. V'al Karchach, if we go with Rabbi Yochanan, Mayri Belo Asru Bei, it must be that there's no malchus in that Mishnah, and therefore he pays knas, because there was no hasra. If there was no hasra, then we're up to a case of shogeg. If we're up to a case of shogeg, then Rashi would hold that, Rabbi Chulin ben Akana would hold that he does pay knas, because there's no chayve krisus to knock off the chiv tashlumi moment in the case of a shogeg. Who command the Omel Kapod Aflamed Hey, the Chayvi Malki is Shogigim Chayov Betashlumen. It means that in the case of Shogig, you pay Tashlumen. And Kain Hoki Nami, Motzilud Ukme, Bishogig Mamish. Umishum Hoki, also, okay, now we understand why Rashi couldn't explain it that way. So what does Rashi understand in that Sugi? What does it mean, Lafuke, me the Ram the Chuni Ben Akonah? Why not say that the entire Mishnah is reconcilable with Rabbi Nachman ben Akana, because we're talking about a case of shogeg, and there's no kimlim the rabbi name in the case of a shogeg. When we shemalchi pirish the koi, here we're turning to kufchav amasnis and demayri b'mezid v'lo asri be. How do we know that the Mishnah itself is talking about a mezid case? Miniktani afal pisha heim bihi koris, even though lechayev in koris. Now let's go back to the Mishnah and see how the Pnei Yoshua is reading the Mishnah. He says the following: Habal achoso, etc., etc., is yesh lam knas afal pisha heim bihi kares. He's reading it. There's a mezid here. Now, if there's a mezid, then that cannot possibly reflect from the chunyim anakana. If you're only focused on nida, so you can say that neither is a case of a shogeg, and we could say that that's one exception to the rule. But as far as the rest of the cases, we could say that that has to be a case of mezid, and therefore that's against Rabbi Nachman ben Akana, because Rabbi Nachman ben Akana maintains that a chiyuv kares knocks off a tashlumei mamon. So again, the Afal Pishem Bekaris tells you that we're talking about a mezid. If you would ask me, could Rabbi Nachman ben Akana imagine a chiyuv knas in the case of nida, and justify our Mishnah that a Baal and Nida Yesh Lev Knas? The answer is yes. It's a case where he didn't know she was a Nida. But you cannot take that straight through and assume that Baal Al Achoso and Achoso Aviv, etc., that all cases of Knas, of Shogeg, that's impossible, because the Mishnah says Afal Pichahain, Bikaris. It's the Rashi Lishitoso, that since Rashi holds that Rav Nachman ben Akana does not apply to a case of shogeg, hence Rashi could not accept the possibility which Tosus embraced, that the Gemara Yel Afuki Rav Nachman ben Akana is referring to Baal Anida. Because according to Rashi, Baal Anida, Yeshlam Knas, would be reconcilable with Rav Nachman ben Akana simply because it's a case of shogeg. And Rav Nachman ben Akana agrees that in a case of shogeg, but again, Tosus Shita is Rav Nachman ben Akana, even in the case of shogeg, holds you don't pay. Therefore, Tosus is free to find a contradiction that's irreconcilable between Abal Anida and Rav Nachman ben Akana. Meaning, since Abal Anida in that Mishnah says you pay knas, that's impossible according to Rav Nachman ben Akana, and the reason for that is, even if I'll grant you the premise that we're talking about a shogeg situation in Nida, Rav Nachman ben Akana holds that in all cases, even in cases of shogeg, you don't pay tashlumei mamon. Hence, the Mishnah is irreconcilable with Rav Nachman ben Akana. Now, why is it? This is what bothers my mind. Why is it that in the case of Rav Nachman ben Akana of Chayve Krisus, we can apply the principle of Kimlei Ravine even in a case of Shogeg, according to Shita Satosus? We're not willing to accept the Tanit Bechizkiya about Chayve Mises Shogeg. Why is it that in Krisus,
be just reversed?
What's the logic? I mean, again, there may be a technical reason for this, maybe because of Ason or something, but just in terms of lumdus, how do you define, just one second. I begin to see. What he's saying is the following. Rav Nachman ben Akana took one step out into the wild, and he said, forget about onshim here. There's no onshim. Bezin is only imposing one onish. Karis is up in Shemayim. Oh, now Rav Nachman ben Akana has redefined the concept of Kimlei Rabbi. We're no longer, There are two ways of understanding Rav Nachunya ben Akona. One is a more technical way, in which Rav Nachunya ben Akona is simply expanding the circle. Fundamentally, he understands Kibbeleid Rabbi in the identical way that the Chachamim understand Kibbeleid Rabbi. Correct? That's one way of understanding Rav Nachunya ben Akona. The only expansion which the Chachamim objected to, you know, they were very inhibited about, was to expand it to Onshei Shamayim. They weren't willing to accept an equation between Onshei Shamayim and Onshei Bezdin. It's not like, well, Hashem is you know, we are Hashem's agent and he's doing up in Shamayim what we would do on earth. The man is Chayav Nisa, or he's Chayav Kares, and he'll die before he's 60 or whatever it is. And Hashem is going to meet that out. We're not going to meet it out. No. The Chachamim couldn't tolerate that. It's a whole different system. Onshei B'dei Shemayim. Comes along with Nachunya ben Akona. He says, you know what? There's a substitution here. What happens is that you have a Chiyuv Onesh B'dei Adam, B'bezin Shalmata, and then you have another Chiyuv Onesh, which will substitute, will step into the shoes of Bezdin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu up in Himmel, in his Bezin Shalmala, he is fulfilling what we should be fulfilling on earth. That's from the Nachunya ben Akona. Nay, says Tosfos, from the Nachunya ben Akona, it's not just expanding Kibbeleid Rabbi. He's fundamentally changing Kibbeleid Rabbi, a whole new approach. Once you get into Onshei Bezdin, you're talking about a whole new approach. The Bezdin here on earth is only implementing one Onesh. How can Rav Nachunya ben Akona say that onesh shouldn't be implemented? There's only Tashlumei Mammon. There's nothing else. Where's Kibbeleid Rabbi? In other words, according to Tosfos Shita, the Chachamim have a definition of Kibbeleid Rabbi, which precludes Karis completely. It's out of the question. Because Kibbeleid Rabbi addresses Bezdin and ties the hands of Bezdin and says, Bezdin, we're going to give you one coupon and not two. Don't believe that you can impose two punishments. That has no application in the case of a Chiyuv Karis. Bezdin's only applying one Karis, one onus. Comes along with the Nachunya ben Akona with a whole different explanation. One Avera, one onus. I don't care where that onus is, but if that onus is for that Maisa, the Maisa is covered. If the man is going to suffer a punishment, I don't care where or when, then such a Maisa cannot generate another Chiyuv Tashlum. I'll give you an example of what happened to mine.
Even though Tashlumim is B'dei Adam. So you're separating the Onish B'dei Shemayim.
No, I'm going back to the Maisa Machayev. The Maisa Machayev is an Avera that will cause him to suffer death. In that case, that Maisa Avera will get its due. It will be punished. Now you want to punish him for that same exact action with a different punishment. You can't do that. The larger punishment swallows up the lower punishment, and that's it. Says Tosfos, if you're going back to the Maisa Avera, then let's look at the Maisa Avera. What is the Maisa Avera? Comes along from the Chunya ben Akona going to Abaye, and he says, Asan. And Asan includes any Avera that generates Kares. So the Asan is now revealing that this halacha of Avera applies to any serious Avera. If there's a serious Avera, then it's going to be covered with a serious Onesh and forget about Tashlumei Mom. Says Tosfos, that applies even to a Shogeg. Because if you're defining the Avera per se, then Loshna Mezid Loshna Shogeg, Kishem Shavera Hi Avera Chamura B'Mezid, Kachi Avera Chamura B'Shogeg. As far as the Mice is concerned, it's in the Parsha. I'll give you an example of what I have in mind. You remember the concept of Tfisa? In other words, there's certain cases where Bezdin can't impose a chiyuv mamon and force you to pay. But if you take the law into your hand, that's called the toughest lo mafkina mine. What would be in Kibbeleid Rabbi? Is there a possibility of applying itofas lo mafkina mine, that tfisa would be meaningful? If you ask me, I would say the following. In the case of the Chachamim, before we have the Nachunya ben Akona, Tfisa would be very feasible. Why? Because Kimlei Rabbani addresses Bezdin and says, Bezdin, you got one coupon. You don't have a second coupon. You cannot impose two punishments. Okay, he's chayef to pay Mammon, but Bezdin can't implement that payment. They can't force him to live up. This is what they call, in modern Hebrew, they call lachuf al avas ad-din. You know, the entire legal system here is all about akifat ad-din, right? But if you take Rabbi Nachum ben Akana's approach, then what we're saying is that this Avera could not be Machayev him a second punishment. Oh, if the Avera is not Machayev, then Tfisa is totally meaningless, because you can't take the law into your punishment, into the hands, because there's no Chiyuv Tashluvei Mammon. Tosis is saying there's a Chiyuv, but Bezdin's arms are tied, and they can't impose the Chiyuv Mammon. And therefore, Tosis says that Bezdin is given Kidei Rishasa Mishum Rishachas Atomachaybo V'yatomachaybo. Bezdin cannot implement two punishments. Okay, that's a din in Bezdin. There are all sorts of technical rules and regulations that obligate or confine Bezdin. They straitjacket Bezdin. But if you take the law into your hands, the guy owes me money. I mean, he ripped my shiraim. I want to get paid for that. I got to buy a new suit. Then Tavas lo mafkina. But in the case of Rabbi Nachum ben Akana, when we're going back to the Avera, and we're classifying the Avera as such an Avera Chamura, that he'll get punishment wherever he'll get punishment, but we can't give him a Chiyuv Mammon from this Avera. Now, if the Chiyuv Mammon and this Avera are mutually exclusive, then it means that this Maisa could never generate a Chiyuv Mammon, e Tavas mafkina mine. We'd have to take it out of his hands. There's no possibility of Tefisa. So what I'm just trying to point out is this whole issue about Shogigin is not a technical issue. It really touches on a fundamental principle. Is Rabbi Nachum ben Akana just expanding, or is he saying something totally different? If he's just expanding, then Rashi is right. To the same extent that in a Chiyuv Misa, it's only if Bezdin could implement the Chiyuv Misa, namely he did it b'mezid, so too in the case of Shogeg, it's only a case where Bezdin Shalmala could implement the Chiyuv Karis because he was amazing. But in the case of Shogeg, there's nothing to talk about. But if you're going to say that Rabbi Nachum ben Akana is not simply expanding the din of the scope of Kimlei Merameni, but he's coming up with a whole different understanding of how Kimlei Merameni works, and he's going back to the Maisa Avera per se, then it makes sense to say that the Maisa Avera is such even in the case of Shogeg. And Rabosa, we've discussed on a million occasions that there are three levels. There's a level of Mezin, there's a level of Shogeg, and then there's something called Misasek. Misasek or Ones in certain cases means there's no Maisa Avera. I mean, there's a great machlokas. My Rebbe used to talk about this all the time between Reb Chaim and Reb Kiveger about the case of Ones. Reb Kiveger understood that Ones is not a Maisa Avera at all. I'm sorry, take that back. Reb Kiveger was of the opinion that Ones is just a Patur Onshin, and Reb Chaim insisted that. That Ones is not a Maisa Avera. But one thing Rabbi Kiveger and Rabbi Chaim both agreed to, that Misasek is not a Maisa Avera. So even if Ones, I would grant you, and I don't agree with this perception, is a Maisa Avera with a Patur Onshin, but Misasek, when he meant to do this and somehow he rolled on the wrong side of his bed and he did that, that's not a Maisa at all. So we have three levels. What's common to both Mezid and Shogeg is that both are Maisa Avera. Nobody questions this. An Avera b'Shogeg is a Maisa Avera. In fact, have you ever met anyone who lives in... I forgot the name of that town. Anyway, the archaeologists believe that town was once one of the Ari Miklat. I forgot. Now it skips my mind. Anyway, it's somewhere up in the north.
That's right.
Anyway, we'll just make up a name, you know, Behudibadi. So up in Behudibadi, that's where the Rotskim used to live. Why do you live up there? The answer is because you killed someone with Shogi. Well, what do you mean Shogi? I didn't do a Maisa Avera. I was walking down, you know, climbing down my ladder, and I fell in and I killed him. Then for that, I have to live in all my life in that Ari Mikla? The answer is yes, because your Maisa is a Maisa Ritzicha, and it's a Maisa Avera. And it's Shogeg. The Gemara says if it's Ones, let's say for example he checked the axe right before he swung it, and then boom, for some unknown reason, the top of the axe just flew off. So in such a case, he doesn't go into Golos. That's not a Maisa Avera, but Shogeg is a Maisa Avera. That's why, Adam Mu'ed Li'olam, you pay damages. let's say Reuven breaks this table, he has to pay for the table. Bein b'mezid, bein b'shogeg. The only difference might be onus. That's a machlokas between Tosis and the Ramban, whether you pay for onsim in a case of Adama Mas. But clearly in the case of a shogeg, then he has to pay for damages. The onus is a maisa hezek. And you could have been more careful. If it's circumstances beyond your control, that's already onus. That's a different question. Whether you're chayv from the maisa, it is a maisa, it's not a maisa. That's going to be an issue. So Rabbo said, what is it? It's Erev Shabbos Parshas Bamidbar. Am I correct? In Chutz Laaretz they're reading Bechukosai. The Gemara says in Megillah that we got to get rid of Bechukosai before we get to Rosh Hashanah. And that means Shavuos. So Gemara says, why is Shavuos Rosh Hashanah? It's Rosh Hashanah Leperus HaElon. So whatever it is, I don't know how to interpret this Gemara, but the Gemara says we got to get Bechukosai over our shoulder. We've already done so here in Eretz Yisrael. But now we're going to read Parshas Bamidbar. So why Bamidbar? The Gemara says in Megillah we got to get Bechukosai under our belt. Why Bamidbar? Tosis says we want to make a wedge. We don't, somehow the clawless of the Chukosai would sort of spill over into Rosh Hashanah. In the case of Kitavo in Aleph Tishrei, it'll spill over. So we have to have a wedge, a machitza. So, but why Parshas Bamidbar? Where is Parshas Bamidbar a wedge? There's got to be, the Zohar says that every Shabbos has an impact and projects you into the week to come. So we're gonna read Parshas Bamidbar. Let's say in Chutz Laaretz, the read Parshas Bamidbar next week, and that's going to be the projectile to the week after, which has Chaga Matan Torah Seder. So I think the answer might be in the fact, and that's why I say it for Ksubis, in the fact that we have a Shtar Yuchsin. The nations of the world came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, why do you give preferential treatment? You give the Torah to your people. What about our people? We're also we chop liver. So according to the Medrash, there are many dances that are there. But this particular Medrash says, because Klal Yisrael can cover the Shtar Yuchsin. That's what Sefer Bamidbar is about. And Bizchus Noshim Tzidkonios Nigalu Avoseinu Mitzrayim, our Yuchsin are such that we go back all the way to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And there's a certain purity. And we can trace our lineage. I have a friend who could trace his lineage 36 doros. And my father claims that he had a document that traced it really far back. Not as far as 36 doros. They say about Rabbi Yonah and Ivishit said he had a shtar yuchsin, he could trace himself back to David HaMelech. But he lost the shtar in a fire. And he got up in front of his community when he was appointed as a Rav, and he says, I have two chisronos. Number one, my age, he was 17. And number two, I don't have the shtar yuchsin, because it was burnt in a fire. So he says, I promise I'll fix both of these chisronos. The first one, that I'm 17, I will promise you, I will fix every second of my life. I'm too young. And the second one, I'm going to start a new Shtar Yuchsin. And there are people today who can trace themselves back to Rav Yonah and Ivish. Yeah. Anyway, I want to wish everyone a great Shabbos, and thanks for all your help over here. We're trying to make some progress here. It's a very profound parrot.
Isn't there a mandama to the number of meters by moment and kanash by...
I don't know such a shita, but it could be that it's going to come up. I don't know such a
shita. I was safer in the house. Called Tiferes Leis David. It was written by an article of David of Lelev, which my wife happens to be as well. And it goes back to other Rishonim. All the names.
Oh, wow.
120, to my wife, it's 126. Now, is there some faulty in the information?
Well, not everyone can claim that he's from Rav David of Lelev.
Sometimes it's wrong with the others, but like the potatoes, the best part's underground.
Underground. Sometimes the worst part is on the ground.
Unfortunately, people put too much on the other side.
Right.